had another angel encounter over there. This angel was like as tall as the other one. I would say about 8 foot tall, at least. And he had this very large new wineskin with the strap, and it was around, you know, on the side of his neck, and the wineskin was on his side. And his white garment had huge wine spots, like probably got sprinkled back on him when he was pouring it on the church. And I always like to ask the Holy Spirit the angels' names, because usually their names are their assignments. And Holy Spirit said his name is Vintage. So I had to look up Vintage real quick, the definition. And it means relating to or denoting wine of high quality. God always saves the best for last. What an assignment for that angel. That's like the angel I like to work with on the earth till Jesus returns. So we've been doing a series on the kingdom, and a few weeks ago I started on loving your neighbor as yourself, part one, and then part two last week was the oil that the Good Samaritan poured into the wounded man in Luke chapter 10. Now I want to finish up with part three on the wine that he poured in. So let's go to Numbers chapter 28, Numbers chapter 28, verses 7 through 10. Numbers 28, starting with verse 7. Isn't it amazing? Has this happened to you? Like, you've read the Bible and scriptures a number of times, and this is for me, like 35 years later, I was reading this and it jumped out to me like never before. Hey, awesome jerseys, by the way, Angel and Leslie. Leslie, I have that same jersey color with the same number. Yeah, should have worn it. All right, right on, right on. All right. what did she say? Go Hackers. Yeah, I figured it caused no small stir. I'm glad this is the message, because here would be friends by the end of it. Hopefully. I just get through it. Okay, Numbers 28. And the drink offering thereof shall be the fourth part of an hin, and for the one lamb. In the holy place shall you cause the strong wine, everybody say strong wine, to be poured onto who? The Lord. I looked at that and I thought, whoa, for a drink offering. And the other lamb you shall offer at evening as the meat offering of the morning, and as the drink offering thereof you shall offer it, a sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot, and 2/10 deals of flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, olive oil, and the drink offering. The wine, the strong drink thereof. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath. Wow. Beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. So I had to like figure this out from the King James, the fourth part of a hin, and how much did actually the priest pour out for God. So I came up with 40 ounces. 40 ounces. It's a lot. That will give a human a buzz, and then some. Huh? A tall boy. I just released tall boys and girls in here today and their identity in Jesus' name. No more short stuff. Now, when the Bible says strong wine, it means what it says. This is not grape juice, okay? This means fermented or intoxicating liquor. Fermented or intoxicating liquor. It means to become tipsy and drunk. Not only is this translated in this version strong wine, in other versions, it's translated strong drink. So you could think of the strongest drink on the earth today, and that was to be poured out to the Lord as a drink offering. He doesn't like the cheap stuff. He doesn't like the watered-down stuff. He likes the strongest, most intoxicating, longest vintage that you can find to be offered to him. Hallelujah. And Proverbs 31 says this. Proverbs 31. I want to read it out of two versions this morning. I want to read it out of the King James and then the Passion. The King James 6 and 7. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. And that is prophetic. And wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. You think that we have some heavy hearts in our nation today? You know what God's remedy is? Give them strong drink of the Spirit. But actually, Psalm was talking about the natural here. Hallelujah. Now listen to it in the mess or the Passion. I'm laughing because this was me. At one time in my walk with God, the devil had so hit me that he drove me, tried to drive me terminally ill in depression. And then I got drunk in the Holy Ghost. And I beat the living out of him in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because a drunk has no fear or intimidation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Strong drink is given to the terminally ill who are suffering at the brink of death. Wine is for those in depression in order to drown their sorrows. Let them drink and forget their poverty and misery. Hallelujah. I think we need a drink this morning. I think we need a strong drink of the Spirit of God this morning. I don't know what is coming against your life that is trying to make you ill in spirit, soul, or body, what is trying to drive you into depression and fear, but God has a remedy. Drink of the Spirit of God. Huge draughts of him. Ephesians 5:17, Passion Translation. Psalms 42 in the Passion. Or no, the Message. I want to drink God. Huge draughts of him. You know you can drink the Spirit? Do you know that the Spirit will make you to drink of him? That's right. He will force you to drink. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How do you do that? You must drink. He's made one body of one spirit and made us all to drink. 1 Corinthians 12, I believe. Hallelujah. You know how you drown out depression and sorrow? You drink it out. What did the Samaritan pour into the wounded man by the thieves? Oil? Oil was used as an anti-inflammatory for wounds, and wine. Wine was used as an antiseptic to cleanse the wounds of the natural. How much more will the Spirit pour into those, his wine and his oil? Hallelujah. Let me tell you one thing. It's wise for you to get drunk in the Holy Ghost. At one amen. I said it's wise for you to get drunk in the Holy Ghost. I said it's biblical for you to get drunk in the Holy Ghost. And if you're not, then you're out of line. Look at Proverbs 9:5. Those ain't my words. Look at Proverbs 9:5. How many want to be wise? Solomon was pretty wise. I mean, he quoted 3,000 Proverbs. But compared to Jesus, he was not very wise. This is what wisdom says to do. So if you want to be wise and full of wisdom, because Jesus was full of wisdom and the Spirit, this is what you should do. Come, eat of my bread, the word, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. The Spirit. Ooh. Command of Scripture. Command of Scripture. There it is. People get so unnerved. People get so bent out of shape when someone gets drunk in the Holy Spirit in the church. They don't know what to do with them because you can't control them anymore. They're obnoxious and boisterous and they have no fear. They just move in faith. And they want to sober them up. Be quiet. Chill out. Only if they would use wisdom, because they would recognize that person is full of the Holy Spirit right now and the presence of God is in your midst. They are controlled by another spirit. His name is Holy Spirit. He brings the fine food and spirits into the church. Hallelujah. No more stale bread for me. No more watered-down wine for me. How about you? I'm so looking forward to when this whole church is drunk in the Holy Ghost. Finally controlled and possessed by him. Operating in faith in their identity with no restrictions or limitations. Hallelujah. Psalm 104. Psalm 104:14-16. You cause grass to grow for the livestock and plants for people to use. You allow them to produce food from the earth, wine to make them glad, olive oil to soothe their skin, and bread to give them strength. Listen. The trees of what? Of what? Okay. What were the trees last week? The trees of the Lord, the trees of righteousness are well cared for. The blind man said, I see men walking as trees. The cedars of Lebanon that he planted. This is what happens to you when the oil and the wine is poured in. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Now, what Steve said up here was prophetic. I hope you heard by the Spirit what he was prophesying. Because I will prophesy to you, he that gives more, you want a word of wisdom? He that, or she that gives more, lives more. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. Not what's left over, brother. Not your spare change given Jesus. You give him the very first, the best, the strongest drink of your finances. I said the strongest drink of your finances. And this is what's going to happen to you. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your presses will burst out with new wine. Everyone say burst out. I want God to burst out of me for the lost. It's enough talking about Jesus. It's time for demonstration of the Spirit and power. Where God's oil and wine are just continually being poured in and poured out and bursting forth with new life. I've heard stories of people walking by people without a word, and they cry out, "What must I do to get saved?" I said they had some wine being poured out of them. I said they had some oil being poured out of them. Hallelujah. Time for talk is over. Rover. Demonstration. Ecclesiastes 10:19. New Living. How many used to party before they got born again? How many used to really party before they got born again? There ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. No, there ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. Come on, that's right. Come on in. We got a better buzz than the world's got for you. Oh, the new wine of his presence. A party gives laughter. Jesus. Hallelujah. Vintage must be in the vicinity. He must be around. Wine gives happiness. And money gives everything. Everything functions in this natural realm through money. And if God's got your money, he's got your life. So why don't you just get drunk with your giving? Just be a hilarious drunkard giver. It goes way past 10%. It's everything for the kingdom. That's a good place to start. Don't start below that, but start somewhere. Start at that. Want to hear a testimony? Okay. So since I started giving more to the Lord, I doubled my giving. I'm going for 90% to give away. Because I have a friend who's a minister who knew a brother who was a businessman who gave 90% of his business away to the kingdom, and he lived off 10%. Could you imagine his reward that is waiting for him, brother? And the souls that are going to be there because of that giving? That's hilarious. And if you're a multi-billionaire, you get to keep multi-millions. I said, that's a good deal. Hallelujah. You know why? Because God can trust you with it. He can't trust most because most are stingy and greedy givers in the church. I think the average is about 20% that give regularly. No wonder churches close and missionaries come home. They're a bunch of thieves in their house, bro. Amen. Don't rob God. You not only rob yourself of the spiritual blessings, you rob the nation of the presence of God. Because your life is a prophetic declaration to the kingdom of darkness. It either empowers it or depowers it. Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. It don't matter what season, it don't matter what circumstance, it don't matter what demon is coming your way. He that has a merry heart has a continual party. I guarantee in heaven there's a continual party. You know why? Ask me why. Thank you for asking. Because there is presence in the joy of the kingdom when one sinner repents and comes home. And every second of every day, there's a sinner being born again, I believe, and there's a continual party and feast in heaven. Time to find your happy place. It's not out there. It's right in here. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart does good like a medicine. That's why you want to be filled with the new wine, because it's medicine to your body and spirit and soul. And it's medicine to those who are not whole. But a broken spirit dries the bones. A lot of dead bones in the house of God. A lot of noisy, clanking, dead bones that need to come back to life. It's time for the oil and the wine. Hallelujah. This word medicine means this. See, you can't just keep putting a bandage over a wound and expecting it to be healed. It has to be treated. You can't just keep covering up something that's in there. You just can't keep covering up bitterness or unforgiveness or offense. It's got to be healed. Medicine, to remove a bandage from a wound, to be cured and healed. Hallelujah. How many want to walk in continual divine health? All these months of the COVID outbreak, it didn't touch me in my house. And then one day it did. Whoa, brother, where's your faith? It's stronger than ever. It's stronger than ever. So is my immune system. God causes all things to work together for good. Hey, if you don't get the healing, he's going to bring you through it. And when he brings you through it, you're going to be stronger than ever in faith. Now I have a badge. I can lay hands on the COVID and they can recover immediately. Because I went through it in faith. Whatever you go through, you are anointed for to see somebody else get breakthrough. That's a good word. Whatever you go through, you are anointed for someone else for their breakthrough. Hallelujah. Come on. Get filled with the oil. Get anointed with the oil. Get anointed and filled with the strong wine from heaven. Never runs out. He doesn't have to say to angel, hey, can you go to the heaven 11 and pick me up another bottle, angel? I'm out over here. Ephesians. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Song of Solomon 7:9. There's nothing like the presence of God. I just kind of wanted to sit here this morning and just sit in His presence. Hallelujah. And the roof of your mouth is like the best wine, Jesus. For my beloved, that goes down sweetly. Listen, listen. Causing the lips of those that are asleep spiritually to speak. Jesus. Jesus, you're the best thing that's happened to me. Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he says, awake you that sleep and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. Isaiah 55:1-2. Remember last week, the priest anointed what? What ear? The what? Thumb? And the right? Excellent. For what? To lay hands on the sick. Hallelujah. And for your feet? Go. Wait and listen. Everyone who is thirsty, I'm thirsty for the presence of God. I'm so thirsty for revival. I don't know about any other church in the city, but I know we're super thirsty. We want the big gulp. The big gulp of the Spirit. Come to the waters of the word of life. And he who has no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come buy priceless spiritual wine and milk without money and without price. Simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. You want to know how simple it is to drink the Spirit? Just surrender. Put your hands up. I surrender. I surrender, Holy Spirit. Pour it in. Pour in the oil and the new wine. You did it all. We just accept it by faith. Our effort's not necessary. Open wide your mouth and I'll fill it, says the Lord. Hallelujah. It's time to move in faith, church. It's time to move in faith and believe God's word for what it is. Hallelujah. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread and your earnings for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight itself in fatness, the profuseness of spiritual joy. There is no speed limit against joy. You cannot exceed the speed limit against joy and the fruit of the Spirit. You can have as much as you want, anytime you want, and it never runs out. It just grows right back. As fast as you can eat it, it grows. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 9, one of my favorite verses. To understand this verse, you have to understand the context of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is sent to a backslidden nation devoid of the oil and the wine. Nobody few for his 40 years of being a prophet wanted to listen. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was put in prison. There were attempts on him to assassinate him, to kill him, and get him out of the land. I think that's a good time in our nation for a prophet to arise somewhere. I think somebody needs to speak up now. I think somebody should be so full of the oil and the wine, they don't give a rip. They're not politically correct. They're biblically correct, and they tell it just how it is. They don't love their lives unto death. They love Jesus, the author and the finisher of their life. That's what happens when you get filled with the spiritual wine. You are bold as a lion. Hallelujah. My heart is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. Okay? I'm like a drunken man. Why are you like a drunken man, Jeremiah? And why are you like a man with whom wine has overcome? Because he was overcome by the Spirit of God. And he appeared to be drunken, just like they were in the book of Acts. I think that'd be a great name for a church, wouldn't you? Not as you suppose, church. Where do you go? Not as you suppose. What? We may have to change the name again, elders. Who knows? That's hilarious, Holy Spirit. And like a man whom wine has overcome because of who? It's the Lord's fault. It ain't my fault. It ain't your fault. And because why? Of the words of his holiness. People think that this is irreverent, how I'm ministering right now in the church. They think I'm in my flesh. Nothing could be further from the truth. It is the most reverent thing to be filled with oil and wine of the Holy Spirit. I would dare anyone to challenge it. Just come up here. We'll see who buzzes bigger. I'm not saying this church. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2:23. Be glad then. Look at your neighbor and say, be glad then. Hallelujah. Be glad then, children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the former rain moderately. Thank God for all the moves of the rain. But there's something new that's coming. It's even upon us. And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And what's going to happen? The floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. This is what it looks like when revival is poured out. It looks messy. Oil is slippery. Wine is intoxicating. That's why Jeremiah staggered like a drunken man, so full of the Spirit. That's why people look like they're staggering, because they're so full of the oil and the wine. They're overcome. Hallelujah. And I will restore to you the ears that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the pommel worm, my great army which I sent among you. We need some restoration in the Church of America. We need some restoration in the government of America. And you shall eat in plenty. It don't matter what the world or the nation is going. It does not affect the kingdom of God. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. I'll just look at you and wonder, why does that dude prosper all the time? Just like Joseph, why does that dudist prosper all the time? Money chases them down because they're a hilarious giver. Money finds their way to their bank account. Money just shows up. It grows underneath their property in oil. True story. Well-known healing minister. A couple that owned property. God spoke to them to start giving to his ministry. So they obeyed. And not long after they started giving, they found oil in their property that was there all their years that they lived there. Never knew it. Give, and it shall be given, who? Unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall who give into your bosom? Men. Oh, I never got to that story earlier, after I started giving. Okay, so my son Cody, I borrowed his Milwaukee blower, you know, battery-operated blower. I'm so tired of shoveling and snow blowing all the time. I mean, if there's a light snow, you can just blow it off. And so I thought, man, God, I'd like to get one of these. These are nice. I don't want to pay that much money for one. So I went online, found one at Lowe's for $80, right? Not as powerful and nice, but it was pretty nice, Craftsman. So I went there, and a young guy was walking by. I said, hey, I'm trying to find these. They're not over by the twos. You know where these are? He said, yeah, follow me. I said, okay. I go over there, and there they are. And then there's a bigger one with more CFM, a bigger one. God always goes with the bigger one, bro. You don't want the small stuff. And the guy looks at me, and he goes, dude, like, for 10 more bucks, you could get this one. It's got more power. I thought, man, I think I'll take your advice. Then he looks at me and goes, military discount. I didn't answer him. He goes, I'll take you up myself and ring you out. So we're walking. He goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to give you the price for the smaller one. Thanks, man. Praise God. Pressed down, running over, shaken together, shall men pour into your bosom. He who gives more lives more. Hallelujah. I'm on the streetcar yesterday. I know this is going online. But listen to the entire story. So often on the trolley or the streetcar, you know, there's wedding parties that want to take pictures on the streetcar. So they'll flag you down, and it's no problem for me. I enjoy it, right? So can't take tips as a city employee. Okay. So this guy flags me down, runs over, he goes, hey, Mel, we take some pictures in the streetcar, and you know, and I'll give you a tip. Give you a $20 tip, man. I'm like, I appreciate it, but I can't take a tip. But you can come on. I'll just step off and take your pictures. So they take their pictures, and I'm standing outside. He comes up to me. He goes, what if I just, like, pretend I lost it on your streetcar. I thought to myself, I guess that would work. Because I did the right thing in God's sight, so maybe I guess there was a blessing coming. So I think that would work. So I walk out and it's right on my driver's seat sitting there. I'm telling you, it will jump out of their pockets to you. It will jump out of their bank accounts to you. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. It's coming. Hallelujah, it's coming. Whew, all right, let's move on. Thank you, Jesus. Zechariah. Close. There's nothing like the Hebrew names when you just pronounce them in Hebrew. They're so cool. Zechariah. Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah. Yohanan, John. Yaakov, Jacob. Yisik, Isaac. Avraham. Hallelujah. Best. The best. Zechariah 9:15. The Lord of hosts shall defend you, and they will devour and subdue with sling stones. Ooh, this is good. And they what? They might drink. They shall drink. And make a noise in church. That's through wine. That's one thing about a drunk. They're just obnoxious. They don't care what they say, how they say it. They just want everybody to hear it. True statement. Wow. And they shall be filled like bowls. I'll say barrels. Roll out the barrel in the church, Holy Spirit. We'll have a barrel of fun. Roll out the barrel. There's plenty for everyone. We're getting to the barrels. Just hang in there a little bit longer. And as the corners of the altar, and the Lord their God shall save them in that day as a flock of his people. For they shall be as stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. The righteous are not going down in this nation. They're going up. They're going up. Up, up, and away. Hallelujah. For how great is his goodness and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful and new wine the maids. Talking about pouring in the wine this morning. Mark 2:22. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins. The wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins. You know what a new wineskin is? It's something that's soft and pliable and tender to the Holy Spirit's move. There's a new wineskin being poured out right now in the nation. It's not like any other outpouring that's been poured out in the church. It doesn't look the same. It doesn't sound the same. It's something new and fresh, and you must be sensitive to move with it. Hallelujah. Brother Steve, no? Another time. Okay. Another time, Steve will give a short teaching on the old and new wineskin. It's extraordinary. It's extraordinary. Hallelujah. Coming down the home stretch here. Let's go to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. The next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." You know, you can argue with anyone, but don't argue with mom. But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Standing nearby, there were 6 stone water jars or barrels used for Jewish ceremonial washing. So these had all kinds of sediment on the bottom of them, washing all the dirt and the sand off their hands and their feet, right, in the water. All the sediment goes to the bottom. Guess what God's going to do this morning? He's going to wash off the sediment in your life. All those little things, those rough things, those irritating things that have gotten down in your soul that the enemy has put there over the years of your life. The water is going to turn to wine and the sediment's going to rise and come right out in Jesus' name. Each hold 20 to 30 gallons. It's a party. Jesus told his servants, "Fill the jars with wine." When the jars had been filled, he said, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of the ceremonies." So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, I'm thinking those servants were kind of like double dipping maybe. He called the bridegroom over. "A host always serves the best wine first," he said. "Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now." It's the strong wine that God reserves for the end. It's the one that's been fermenting in heaven since mankind was created, as being poured out now upon you and your sons and daughters and grandchildren. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. What a sign. You would think it would be like a blind eye opening or a deaf ear hearing or a dead person being raised. No. It's new wine being poured out. The kingdom is here. It's among you. I'm here to pour out the new wine into your life. Hallelujah. Last verse. Isaiah 24, 11 through 14. "There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened and the myrrh of the land is gone. In the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction." Does not that sound like America today? The joy is trying to be snuffed out. The gladness is trying to be taken away. They're trying to shut the mouths of the church, so the oil and the wine cannot be poured out any longer. And there is a cry for mankind. The wine is gone. They're crying for wine. What wine? The new wine. They're crying in the streets this morning for the new wine. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree. Zechariah 4. Who is this golden candlestick? And what are these two olive trees that stand before the God of the whole earth? These are the two anointed ones, the Son and the Spirit, which go forth from the Father into all the earth, the oil and the wine. And as the gleaning of grapes when the vintage is done, you got it. You got it because there was even an angel here named Vintage this morning that's waiting to pour it out on you at the altar. Hallelujah. They shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. Then shall they shall cry aloud from the sea or the other nations. Will you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. The wine. The new wine. Thank you, Jesus. Is the whole worship team here? Raise your hand. No. Who are we missing? Lauren. Okay. Can I call you forward to go back into that song with the beauty of the Lord? I just remember it in one of the choruses. Please, just come on up. David said this, one thing, it's just one thing I desire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire of his temple all the days of my life. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You contain the oil and the wine to be poured out. The more you worship Jesus and his beauty, the more you are filled and overflowing and intoxicated with his love, which is better than wine. Hallelujah. And this church is what's needed in our day and age. You must be filled with the oil and the wine. Hallelujah. So this morning, come and be refilled. Remember Ephesians 5:17, be filled with the Spirit in a continual perpetual tense. Continue to be filled. You want to get on the keyboard? Or Brian's on the keyboard? Okay. Are you just like waving to me? I'll prophesy over you because you got my attention now. Okay? God's taking you to a new place in worship, into the heavenly realm, where few have gone because their hearts were not pure. They had mixed motives and purposes and agendas. God has seen your heart over the years. Now he's going to take you to that place and release to you the oil and the wine for this time. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So as the worship team, go ahead and play. As they begin to play, let me invite you forward to be filled with the new wine. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How do you taste? You open your mouth and put something in it. Hallelujah. You open your mouth and you say, Holy Ghost, put it in. Just put it in fresh. Hallelujah. Let me tell you by experience. Once you taste and see the Lord is good in the new wine, you'll never want anything else. It is the most exciting thing for me to go evangelize drunk in the Spirit. I quote the people that are druggies and alcoholics, and I bring this to them, the oil and the wine, so God could pour it in. God's not ashamed of this. You know why he's not ashamed of it? Because it's who he is. Because the kingdom of God is not meat or drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And a person who serves God this way is acceptable in his sight. You may have some inhibitions. You may have some reserves. You may think, this guy has lost his mind. No, I've lost yours. All right, real quick testimony before I call you forward. This week, I work a split shift, so when I got off in the morning, I had to drive all the way to Twin Lakes. I was going to go Saturday, but I had to go to work, so I went Friday instead. Help a brother out. So I help him out, and I'm on my way back because I got to get back to go into my afternoon shift. So on Highway K, there is a buffalo farm. I don't know if you've ever seen it. And I was looking for the buffaloes, and I didn't see them anymore. But I noticed on the way there that they had a small sign that they had a store. So I thought, maybe I'll stop at that store if I got enough time when I come back. Because maybe they got buffalo meat in there. You know, Tatanka. Okay. One of the few Indian words I know. So it's got a long driveway, pull all the way in the back, and there's a small store, and there's this young guy on the phone, and so I'm walking around the store, right? And this is Friday, okay? I'm tired. I was back to work last week, and that Saturday I had to work, and then this Saturday I got to work, so I'm tired. And I was going to get alligator, and they're all out. They had alligator there. So I asked the guy, yeah, I was going to get alligator. He said, yeah, it should be in next week, and let me tell you how to cook it. So I was like, okay. And then I noticed his ears. What did the priest anoint? So he had cauliflower ears. You know what cauliflower ears are? It's from mixed martial arts fighters. There's no bone, so it's cartilage, and they look like big cauliflowers when they get punched so much. So I'm talking to him, I noticed, and I said, you an MMA fighter? He goes, yeah. He says, you want to see a video? I said, yeah, sure. Shows me a video. And he's fighting this guy, and he's a lefty, and he nails him. Knocks the guy out. You know. And he says, I got to go back out next week to Fort Myers. I'm from there. I said, man, my parents lived in Sarasota for a lot of years. He said, that's where I'm from originally. It's like, wow, that's pretty cool, man. And so now my flesh is going, it's time to go. You need to go home and rest. You got to go back to work. My spirit's going, this might be an opportunity to pour in the oil and the wine, Terry. So there's a battle going on. And so I'm asking the Holy Spirit, okay, now, am I supposed to lead this guy to Christ? What am I supposed to do here? I'm tired. Please help me. And he said something about God, and that's all it took. Like, I prayed to God, you know, for my match or something. I said, dude, I said, what God has put in you, that's your purpose and destiny. So be the best MMA fighter you can be. He goes, you know what? He said, this farm here, I could inherit all this, but I couldn't get away from the passion that was in my heart. I just had to fight. I said, hey, we're kind of alike. I said, I'm a preacher and I'm a spiritual fighter. And I said, David, one of his mighty men, like, took out 600 or 800 guys by himself. That was just one of his soldiers. I said, let me encourage you. Pursue what God's put in your heart, and you'll be fulfilled. He's like, and I said, you know what, man? I said, when I'm preaching sometimes, I said, people look at me like I've lost my mind. And you know what I tell them? No, I've not lost my mind. I've lost your mind. He goes, that's a good one, man. She goes, hey, would you pray for me for this fight coming up? Dude, I was thinking it already. So I prayed for him. And he said, hey, can you come by next week before I leave? But don't come by on Wednesday because I won't be here. I said, yeah, I need to get that gator, man. So I'll be here. So his name is Charlie. I can discern that he's God's. So just pray for Charlie, that he is an encounter with God. I pray for his protection. And I said, you know what? He said, I'm not in it for the money and for the fame. He said, I just want to make it to the top, retire, have a family, and maybe buy this farm and inherit and work the farm and have a school and teach young guys to fight. Dude, I said, if you walk in that humility, I said, God will promote you in his time. It's the ones who think they're everything that go to the bottom. So as you continue to do that, God will take you in different steps and promote you in his time. And I left. So I'm going back this week to see Charlie. And I'm hoping that God will open his heart for the gospel. That's the oil and the wine. I didn't say anything. I waited and listened. And then I saw. People just need someone to listen to. They don't need the four spiritual laws. They need the presence of God to show up. Hallelujah. So as the worship team begins to play, I'm going to ask for the elders again, prayer team. If you want to be filled, refill with a new wine for service, I'm going to invite you to come forward. Now, what's going to happen in your life is not my fault. Okay? I had a sister got pulled over one time from a meeting. I wasn't there, but they had a van load of women. And she got pulled over by an officer for some reason. Said to her, hey, it looks like you've been drinking tonight. You're like swerving all over the road. She says, well, we have, but we're just drunk on the Spirit of God. What do you say to that? So they let her go with no ticket. Hallelujah. So how God's going to manifest on you is going to look like that. It's going to feel like that. But God's not going to violate you. Okay? He's going to bless you. And you're going to taste and see how good he really is. And joy, and you will have joy unspeakable and full of glory. This was the first glimpse of Jesus' glory on the earth, filled with the presence of God. So please come forward. God bless you.